So let's talk about the tests that Oklahoma and Oregon have this week, because Oklahoma, of course, that Oklahoma State game could be for all the marbles. It certainly will be in the Big 12, and it could potentially be for a BCS championship berth. But they're going to have to get through Baylor first. And are you giving Baylor any chance in this one?
Baylor, the thing about Baylor that's really difficult to figure out is how they're going to even come close to playing good enough defense to win a shootout anymore, because we spoke about Baylor a few weeks ago and how are they going to play Oklahoma State? What kind of a shootout do they need to win there? And, you know, they lose 59-24 and never have a prayer.
Turned the ball over so many times, though.
They really did, but here's the thing. Baylor's ranked 110th in total defense, and unlike Oklahoma State, they're ranked 92nd in forcing turnovers, so they don't force
turnovers.
There's
nothing to like about this defense.
Yeah, they don't get off the field, and they don't force turnovers. That's what you call a bad defense, and my problem is, how can they win a game against Oklahoma when they play that bad defense?
Well, and hate to put you on the spot here, but do you remember the last time that Baylor beat Oklahoma?
Oh, man, when was it?
It's actually never happened. Oklahoma has won 20 straight against Baylor. They've never lost to the Baylor Bears, so if the defense isn't a good enough reason to make you believe Baylor doesn't have much of a shot here, that little stat there might also throw you off.
I mean, Baylor, they escaped last week. There's no other way to say it. In as embarrassing a win as you can have, 31-30 in overtime against Kansas.
I still, for the life of me, can't figure out how Kansas gave up less than 50 points to Robert Griffin III.
It's just really, we're having trouble trying to figure out how RG3, who we both like, can one man show this game and somehow come up with a shootout win. I mean, you know, the case to be made is that Oklahoma, they don't have Ryan Broyles, and they don't have Dominique Whaley, and those are two massive losses, maybe not for this game, but moving forward with the rest of this season, when you lose arguably the best wide receiver statistically in the history of college football, at least from a reception standpoint, and then you lose your leading rusher who's played a huge role in the balance of your offense, I don't think we'll see it show up this week, but there are a lot of question marks for Oklahoma and just where they stand mentally with what they're doing on offense. So, you know, you give them maybe a chance in that way, but this is a very difficult game to see Baylor being competitive in.
Yeah, and since Oklahoma lost that game, they've completely turned it on, and they've looked every bit like a team that is ready to go to a championship game. They looked great against Kansas State. They looked great against Texas A&M. Two better teams than Baylor all around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't give Baylor much of a chance at all in this one. I'd love to say, like you were saying, that it could get into a shootout type of game, and maybe the weapons deficiency there makes a difference. But I think Oklahoma can contain Baylor to, say, even 35 points, which I think they can do better than that. But even if they can keep Baylor to 35 points, they're going to score into the 40s on this defense.
I mean, it's one of those things where the one card that we could probably play in this game is that if you can lose to a hopeless Texas Tech team,
you
at
can
home,
lose to anybody. You got
can
it.
Lose to anybody, including your first loss against Baylor. But it's it's tough to figure out other than that.
And of course, the Oregon USC game. This is not a great week of college football on the field, I should say, as far as exciting matchups are concerned, because I would argue that the Oregon-USC game is the best game on the board, and USC has nothing on the line, so that goes to show you this late in the season what type of week it is. But I think this is a very interesting game, and like I said, perhaps the best league. But even in this one, I'm having a hard time making a case for USC.
It's a really tough case again to be made, and the reason why is it's not just, I mean, you look at the numbers. Oregon's won 21 consecutive home games, 19 consecutive conference games. I mean, it's a team right now that's third in the country in scoring. And the issue for USC, as they're coming off of maybe their best performance of the season, when they forced seven sacks against Washington, Oregon's only allowed seven sacks all season, so USC is peaking at the right time. They've held opponents to less than 100 yards rushing five times this year. They're ranked right now eighth nationally in run defense, the Trojans are. Here's the issue. Stanford right now is ranked seventh in rush
defense. Exactly.
And I think that if you look at USC and Stanford, they're similar in terms of the the way that their personnel is and the way that they run their offense and the way that they run their defense, I'm willing to say that USC is a more athletic defense. But if you're USC and you're looking at the game film against a slightly better version of yourself, I mean, Stanford, there's a reason that that game went to multiple overtimes. I think that Stanford is a slightly better version of USC. So USC is going to put the film on and they're going to see Oregon dismantle this team at home, and you're looking for ways to make this a game, and it's going to be awfully hard, especially when you're coming off of giving up 53 points and 47 points these last couple of years against Oregon. It's a defense that hasn't found a way yet to stop them.
That's a really good bring up, because I remember even when we were talking about that Stanford-USC game, we were saying that they're essentially the same team, but Stanford's just a little bit better in every facet of the game. So how does a poor man Stanford go into Oregon now and beat Oregon? When you talk about those streaks, insane. And Oregon, the all-time Pac-12 winning streak is 27 straight, held by USC. They did that back in 2003 to 2006. So if Oregon wins this one and then beats Oregon State next week, they're in position potentially next year to pass that one, because they are clearly the class of the conference. Oregon's won three of the last four against USC. And an interesting stat about USC's defense: they've played 10 games this year, USC has. In 7 of those 10 games, they've given up 17 points or less. In the 3 that they didn't, they gave up 40 or more points. Yeah. And that was against good offensive teams in the Pac-12. So I think Oregon is more in the 40-plus category than they are in the under-17 category.
Yeah, you have to assume. And here's the thing. I'm trying to make a case for USC. The only area that I think they have an advantage over Stanford that could help them in this game is in their team speed, particularly at the linebacker level, because they have a couple of guys now that might make a difference. You have a guy like Hayes Pollard and Deion Bailey. Pollard was a high school teammate of DeAnthony Thomas at Crenshaw High School. These are fast linebackers. If anybody wants to point to why has USC been so much better on defense recently, it's because Monty Kiffin has found a way to inject this defense with more speed than it's had. They didn't have these guys last year to play Oregon, or the year before that. These could be the difference makers that you need to chase down LaMichael James, to chase down Darren Thomas. They're certainly fast enough to cause problems, but that's the only area that I see an improvement in terms of how it's been in this matchup in the past. I mean, USC still has the Tampa 2 as their base D, which Oregon has been able to exploit because it's just not a great matchup for Monty Kiffin's system. And I look at Oregon, the other thing, they're playing really good defense. I mean, they're leading...
Great defense.
They're leading the Pac-12 right now in pass efficiency defense. They're leading the Pac-12 in sacks. And they showed last week, when they dial it up, they can stop the best quarterback in the country. So it's one of those things where not only are they going to continue to be what they are on offense, but they held Washington to a season low in points and yards. Then last week they hold Stanford to a season low in points and yards. So it's one of those things where USC is going to have to play their absolute best game, protect Barkley better than Stanford protected Luck with a better offensive line. And if they can do all of those things, maybe they have a chance. But Autzen Stadium's hard enough to begin with.
And Robert Woods injured. So you lose your best weapon, a lot like Stanford lost their best weapon going in. So lots of parallels here. We might see a similar score. The only other thing I can say in USC's defense, and Oregon has improved since then, and USC has declined a bit on defense since then, but the last 2 years, of course, Oregon has dominated this game. They've won each of the last two matchups by at least 3 touchdowns. But if you look at this matchup before the last 2 years, USC historically has had success against this spread attack, and I think that is because of the talent that they recruit and the speed in that linebacking core. I think you're spot on there, and I think that USC has to know that going into this game, that they're going to have to inject those guys once again. If they can get back to the form that they were in a couple years ago, maybe they have a shot. But like I said, Oregon's running smoother under Chip Kelly than they did in the past, and USC... not quite the defense that they were in years past.
Yeah. I mean, but if both sides of the ball continue to roll the way they are for Oregon, this is, with the injury to Woods especially, this is a very difficult game for a USC team that is coming off of maybe their most complete performance of the year. So it's certainly worth watching and certainly worth seeing if USC can continue this momentum, but a tough game to try to win this week.
I really wish we could have had that Oregon-LSU game right now.
I say that every year.
If we could just see what this Oregon team could do in their prime against one of these tough SEC teams, it would be a blast. But from the sound of it, it doesn't sound like we're putting Oklahoma or Oregon on upset alert this week.
I don't think so this week.